He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Micah 6 and verse 8. Have a number visiting today. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate very much your attendance. I've got a lot of folks that are gone today because of the holiday weekend. We certainly want to remember them in prayer that they'll be safe in their journeys. And it's good to see each of you that are here today. We appreciate so very, very much your being here. It's good to be back home. I was up north a bit in Canada for a week and a meeting up there in Calgary. And it was good to be with those brethren again. And I appreciate them very much and the opportunity to be able to preach the word in a land. So good to see you all. When we talk about humility, I think if you were asked the question, are you a humble person? Probably most of us would say, well, yeah, I think I'm a humble person. If you were asked the question, are you a prideful person? Well, some would reply like, well, I'm proud of Alabama, I'm proud of Auburn, or I'm proud of Kentucky, or there's something, I'm proud of my grandkids, kind of thing. And we understand what we mean when we talk about, are we proud? Pride is something that in the Bible is never used in a good sense. It's always negative. And here we see Micah. He is a contemporary of Isaiah. That would put it in about 750 B.C. And this passage in and of itself would be a great text for us to study and think about. But I want to concentrate on this idea of humble this morning. So there are a number of passages that we could turn to, we could talk about. But I want to talk to you a little bit about a commentary, if you will, about humility. And it's from the book of James. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to the book of James. And we're going to look at this idea of humility for a few moments. So if I was to ask you, what is pride? Well, some of the definitions would be feeling your own superiority or importance. It's an inordinate self-esteem, arrogance, being conceited. And you can see why God would resist that kind of disposition. When you look at James chapter 4, it's important that we read a few verses before our text passage. I want to start at verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you not think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you study the book of James, there are lots of very practical applications that James talks about. He is one of the most Jewish writers of the New Testament in the sense that he makes lots of references to the law and the Jews. And he uses in verse 6 from Proverbs 3 and verse 34, God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. So let's think just a moment, if you will, about this idea of pride. In this context of James, he certainly is pointing out that quarrels, wars, murder, envy, even asking for things from God, the basis is pride. And he opposes that. So James begins to talk about in this text how you overcome pride, what it means to be humble. So when we think about pride, there are several causes of pride, as James talks about here. One might be religious position. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, the Pharisees and the scribes, in their position religiously, they were very arrogant and conceited in their position. Jesus condemned them for that. Elders are warned about being conceited or being prideful in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Knowledge can be a source of pride. Well, I've gone to school, I know this, I know that. And we all have experienced or been around folks that think they know everything. And they're arrogant. They can be very condescending to you if you don't know what they know. Riches, physical possessions can also be a sense of pride. I have, you don't. I'm better, superior. Pride is boasting about who or what you are or what you have. Pride keeps people from repentance. I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to, you know, say I'm sorry. And the reason is because of pride. People don't obey the gospel because that would be admitting you're wrong. Pride causes strife between people. Pride breeds contempt. Pride deceives. Pride makes people act very foolishly. Not just religiously, but in life. Pride goeth before the fall, the wise man said. So, I'm just establishing the fact that the Bible has a whole bunch to say about pride. And all of it ain't good. If you'll notice there in that verse 6, the text says again, God is opposed to the proud. We've given evidence of that. But He gives grace to the humble. Grace is favor. As it's used in the Bible, it's unmerited, undeserved. And someone has said, God gave us grace freely to those who thought themselves least worthy of it. So let's think about this passage and really look at ourselves about whether or not we are humble. Well, first of all, just the idea of proud or humble. We see that here in this text. And it seems that you're one of the two. You're not both. You're either prideful or you're humble. But you also notice here that in verse 7, he looks at the idea of how we might be prideful or how we might be humble. And he says, submit therefore to God. Submit to God. So it's a simple question, are we submitting to God or are we rebelling? Now, I think for most of us, I know for myself, I can easily smooth it over with my actions or my what I've said or what I've done. I could say something that my wife might say, well, that was pretty harsh, or that sounded very hateful, or that sounded arrogant. And I said, well, it did not. I didn't mean that. You can justify it very easily. But I think James is saying that if you're going to be a humble person, you're going to have to submit to God. Submit means to obey. So when I read the Word of God, we're constantly challenged by the Word about what God wants us to do or what God doesn't want us to do. And I think I mentioned this a week or so ago in my daily Bible reading. I've been reading through the Pentateuch there, and you notice over and over and over and over and over and over again, the text says, and of course Moses is the one that is verbally inspired, that is writing these words, and it says, and Moses did according to God's word. Sometimes it would say, Moses did exactly what God said. And you know what is recorded by Moses about himself? He was the humblest, meekest man on the earth. And I wondered if that was a coinkydink. The fact that over and over and over again, in the first five books of the Bible, it talks about how many times Moses did exactly what God said. And then God has Moses to write about himself that he's the meekest person on the earth. No, I don't think that was a coinkydink. I think that was purposeful. And I think it was saying something to the people then, and it says something to us today. The test of humility is submitting to exactly what God says do. And any of us are displaying pride and arrogance when we refuse to do what God says. That's really as simple as I know how to put it. He also talks about resisting and giving in verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, all of us want the devil to flee from us. No, none of us want the devil living in our house, but he does. He lives right there with us. He goes to church with us. He rides in the car with you to work, to school. He's right there. And he's constantly putting temptation before us. What we think, what we say, what we do, what we don't do, what we don't say. And so here, James makes it very black and white. He makes it very clear. If you're a humble person, you submit to God and you resist the devil. If you're constantly giving into temptation, there's an arrogance, pride issue. Oh, I can do this or that and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. It won't hurt me. It's not a big deal. It's just, you know, it's not that important. And it's easy to justify our giving in. Oh, I'll just go this one time, or I'll just miss this one time, or I just won't do this that one time. And then it becomes a habit. And so what you create the persona that you're going to obey God and submit to Him when it's convenient for you. And you'll give in when you want to. You'll notice here that he talks about in verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So I hope you're noticing that he's given an excellent prescription for the change of our character. And he's talking about drawing near to God. He will draw near to you. How do you do that? How do you accomplish that? How do you draw near to God? Well, certainly you draw near to God through prayer, would you not? To communicate with Him, to talk to Him. He draws near to you by letting Him communicate with you, reading the Word of God. You certainly draw near to God when you come into His presence, when we come together to worship God. And that's why assembling together as God's people is so essential. God wants us to draw near Him. He has told us He will be in our presence when we come together as a church to worship Him. So drawing near to God is a purposeful, intentional thing that we do. And now His presence. We discussed a bit in the last couple of weeks about the Holy Spirit. We'll have some more to say about God the Holy Spirit in the future. But the presence of God is essential in every aspect of my life. And pride may be the very thing that is keeping me from God. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to pray to God. I don't need to go to church. That's arrogance. When in actuality, we need God. We need to draw near Him. And then He draws near to us. So we have abandoned Him. We do abandon Him. James also talks about the process of cleansing ourselves. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. That phraseology is used throughout the Bible. You know, the Old Testament has a couple of words like uncleanliness, godliness. Those are opposite. So one became unclean under the old law if they, as a Jew, touched a pig. That you become unclean. If you touched a dead body, you were unclean. What did that mean? You could not come before the presence of God without some kind of formula that God had given in regards to some sacrifice or so many days, that sort of thing. Now, all I'm saying is that here, James makes it clear that if you're going to draw near to God, you got to clean yourself up. You can't remain dirty. You can't remain in sin. We've talked about a number of times the Isaiah passage. Your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God. God is holy. We're not. Through the blood of Christ, we can be redeemed. We can be justified. We can have salvation so that we can approach God. But contextually here, he's talking about pride. You need to cleanse yourself and not remain dirty with pride. Get rid of that. He also talks about how you do that. He says, purifying your hearts, you double-minded, be miserable, verse 9, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. You know, sin is not funny. It's not a trivial thing that we sin against God. It's not an insignificant thing. Sometimes we can talk about sin and someone says, that's no big deal. That's pride. That's resisting God. Sometimes we say, well, you know, it's our sins that put Jesus on the cross. But what do we mean by that? It's a big deal. Sin is a big deal. So that no one misunderstand, if you're not a Christian and you're at the age of accountability, knowing right and wrong, and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you are prideful because you've not admitted you're wrong. God commands you to repent. Well, as a child of God, when we become arrogant that we refuse to do what God wants us to do, we're arrogant, we're prideful. We must humble ourselves and come to God. We must cleanse ourselves. Well, what's the attitude you should have about that? It should be weeping, mourning, not laughing. Well, again, James makes it very clear about how you deal with pride. But then he says, verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. There is reward for changing your life. Which one of us as Christians have not experienced this in your life? You've done something wrong. You repeatedly have done something wrong. And you know it's wrong. And finally, you say, enough's enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done with this. I'm going to stop doing this. And I want God's forgiveness. And you turn your laughter into mourning. And you humble yourself before God. And you repent. And you ask God to forgive you. And you're feeling lower than a snake's belly. You feel awful. The guilt and the shame. The remorse is there. Nobody likes that place. But when you approach God, and through the blood of Christ you are forgiven, He exalts you. Having trust and faith in God, you know that He forgave you. And that makes you feel better. You've told God you're sorry. You've told God, I'm not going to do that anymore. And He forgives you. And you know He's forgiven you. How do you feel now? You feel better. You've been lifted up. You've been encouraged. Now you go in the direction you're supposed to be going. And you do what God wants you to do. And you feel the joy. You feel the peace. You feel the comfort of God and His presence. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been there and done that? That's what James is talking about. And the difference from being exalted and being in this valley of the shadow of death is your pride. It's your arrogance. It's feeling self-sufficient. You don't need God. But we know we need God. We all need God. So, when Micah says, He has told you, O man, what is good. We're not left to wonder. We're not left to just drown in all of this. God has told us how to get out of this mess. And what does the Lord require of you? Well, do justice. Do loving kindness. And walk humbly with your God. whoever you are today, that action, God makes it possible for you. We ate the Lord's Supper today, remembering our Lord's death. And it is our Lord's death that makes it possible for us to walk humbly with our God. So, here's the question. Here's the point of the lesson today. Where am I? Maybe we're very quick to say, oh, I'm a very humble person. Well, stop and think about that a bit. Maybe you are. But by your fruit, you should know yourself. Thank you for listening this morning. I hope you will think very seriously about what we've talked about. I thought it a very basic lesson. A very simple lesson. But a very valuable lesson for us all. So this morning, if you're not humble, you can turn your laughter into mourning. We're here today to help you, to encourage you. This song, Brother Brad is going to lead us. We need God. Have you come to that conclusion? You need God. So if you need to be baptized, there's water. Just need you to get in there. If you're a Christian, but you've resisted God, not Satan, you can change that. In your heart, if you'll look, you know. You know. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
All I say.